Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour with your host, Sam Leibowitz.
Good morning, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. We have quite a wonderful show in store for you. You are so lucky you're tuning in today. Let us get going. I know last week, I hope you enjoyed our interview with Peter Roth all about human design. You got to learn, an awful lot about me, your conscious consultant. Don't tell any of your friends now. That's only for you. Selena is taking a break, but she will be back coming with our new show in December. She'll be back on the air with her practical spirituality tips of the week. But we'll continue this week with our quotes from the universe and from Abraham. I know you guys love them. So let's see what the universe has in store for us today. Did you hear the dueling choirs when you rose from bed this morning? Did you see the dancing flames of joy far off upon the horizon? Did you feel waves of love rolling in as if from 1 billion surfing hearts? It was your peeps again. There was another love-a-thon for earthlings. Show yours how much you care. Act now. Don't delay. Time on earth can seem so perilous without love. Let's see who can reach theirs now. You won. Again. Love your kind. The universe. We love our tips from Mike Dooley and the universe. And telling us how much we're really loved by all beings far and wide throughout the universe. And let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. If you guide through anything other than your own example, it crosses over into the category of control. If you say, this is what I've found that works for me, try it if you like it, that's guidance. If you say, this is what I found works for me, and if you don't follow it, you're in trouble, that's control. Abraham. An interesting quote from Abraham. Never saw this one before. Kind of the difference between guidance and control. You know, it's as human beings, we love to control things. We love to tell people what to do. We love to, you know, kind of, you know, make things conform to our wishes. And sometimes, especially dealing with friends and those of you who are coaches out there and consultants, you know, guidance tends to be accepted much more easily than controlling direction. And, you know, everybody sees things differently, right? Everybody kind of has their own perspective. And just because you found a particular way that works really well for you doesn't mean that somebody else can't tweak it in their own way and apply it differently than you've seen to make it more of their own and to find something that works better for them. You know, we have a tendency to think that just because something works exactly the way we did it, that that's exactly the way it should work for you. And I tell you, I've seen many, many seminar leaders and speakers who like feel like they've found the secret sauce. They have the magic formula and you just have to follow these 10 steps and you will have all the success in the world and everything will be perfect for you. Only to find that like for 99% of the people out there, they can follow those exact 10 steps and nothing works for them because we all have our own path, our own journey. We all have, you know, those things that appeal to us that might be a little bit different than exactly the way they did it. So I really encourage you to find your own path. This doesn't mean we can't listen to them. Doesn't mean we can't learn from other people. Doesn't mean that their stories of how they discovered things doesn't have some value. It does. But we always filter things through our own experience, through our own essence, and some things appeal to us and some things don't. You know, I love that old expression, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Take what appeals to you, take what resonates with you, and if something doesn't resonate with you, even if 100 other people say it's great, if it just doesn't work for you, don't worry about it. Let it go. Stick to what's really, you know, there for you, and you'll find that life will be much more fun, interesting, enjoyable, and really lead you to an amazing path. And speaking of people who've taken their own path, you are really in a store for a treat today because we have a wonderful transformational healer and coach, Jacqueline Muller. Jacqueline is a Swiss national who grew up with Thai royalty. She's owned a pet elephant. Ooh, I'm going to have to ask you about that. She's traveled to over 80 countries around the world, speaks 8 languages. She's worked in close to 30 countries. She's taken businesses from 10 million to 50 million in just a couple of years and was instrumental in taking Boston Proper, which is a business in Florida, from 2 million to 100 million in sales. So this woman, she knows what it means to be successful in this world. Jacqueline is also very much a philanthropist and has personally overseen many humanitarian projects from the Congo to Nepal to India to Zambia. She's qualified as a certified NLP practitioner. She's an Ericksonian hypnotist and an intercultural coach. And you know, we believe in really being culturally sensitive to many things around the world. She's also, of course, with this background, how could she not be a global leadership coach? And a Robert Ponte style consultant. I have to ask you about Robert Ponte. I'm not familiar with him. As well as a healing practitioner, energy worker, and timeline therapist. Ooh, I never had met a timeline therapist before. Cool. So you guys can tell, like, this is my kind of person, why I brought her on the show, for you to all get to know her. So welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Jacqueline.
Thank you very much, Sam. Thank you for having me on your show. I was really looking forward to this. It's such a treat to be here.
Yeah, so it's wonderful to have you. I was really happy to catch you while you were jetting through New York City. You're here for all of, what, 5 days and then going on to another country or something?
I will be going back to Hong Kong tomorrow, yes. Yes.
And that's where you hail from now, right, is Hong
Kong?
That's
where I have lived for the last 36 years.
36 years, yes.
Wow. And, you know, I went there on a holiday, and I guess I'm still on a holiday.
Now, that's the way to live life, as if you're always on a holiday. Okay, so I got to ask you a little bit about your background, because I didn't know some of these things, so I looked it up. You grew up with Thai royalty?
Well, my family is related through roundabout ways mm-hmm. to a branch of the royal Thai family.
Ah.
And so, you know, I grew up with those little princes.
Wow.
Who now are no longer so little.
Yes. Are they still princes, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Mostly princesses, actually. So, I don't have much contact anymore with the princes.
Oh, okay.
But yes, my mother used to tell the story that I had just arrived in Bangkok at mm-hmm. I think I was about 3 months old.
Wow.
And she was at home, and suddenly she hears the sirens and the lights are flashing, and this motorcade drives into to the house, and it's the Prince Regent who came to see, check out the new baby, which was me.
Wow. So you had royalty welcoming you into this world. Huh?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so what was your pet elephant's name?
Tembo.
Yes. How old were you when you had Tembo?
Well, my father rescued him at the age of one. He had just lost his mother and a bit young to lose mother and for an elephant at one. Mm-hmm. And he was the agent for Volkswagen in Thailand and was traveling the country with the head of Volkswagen at the time, Dr. Nordhoff. And they saw this little baby elephant. And my father said, you know, you ought to open a zoo at the headquarters and ask every agent in all the countries to send you one elephant from their country. So then Nordhoff sort of said, well, yeah, okay. My father said, great. So this will be your first animal. And he bought the elephant and brought him home. Now, the thing was, we had a big garden and the zoo never happened in Germany. So we kept the elephant and he became just my best friend, you know.
Part of the family.
Well, yeah, we played football with him and he had a very peculiar habit. He loved red hibiscus flowers. Only the red ones, not the yellow, not the orange. No, only the red ones.
Wow.
Yeah. And may I tell you another little story about him?
Sure.
In the morning, before my father would go to work, he would often give Tembo a little square of chocolate.
Mm.
And that became such a habit that Tembo would know, okay, this man's going to work, I better go and get my chocolate. And he would stand in front of the car, my father had a Porsche, and, you know, sort of look for the chocolate with his trump. And if my father pretended he didn't have it, Tembo would go into his pocket and everywhere, behind his neck, in the shirt. And if he couldn't find it, he'd start to lean against the car.
Oh.
And you know, elephants are pretty heavy.
Yes.
So he'd lean, lean, lean until he got the piece of chocolate.
Wow. So I guess that's a lesson in, you know, don't get an elephant into a habit unless you really intend on following through, right?
That's right. Oh, actually, good lesson for life.
Yes. Yes, you know? Absolutely. How many years did you have Tembo?
7 years. Had to go to the zoo at the age of 8 because he was really
too big,
becoming very, very expensive to
feed.
I'm sure.
20
liters of milk a day, you know.
Wow, really?
2 huge stacks of hay, 4 banana trees, sugar cane. Oh.
Wow.
So amazing.
I have to say, I really believe you're the first guest I've ever had on my show in the 4.5 years I've been doing it who had a pet elephant growing up. It definitely makes you very
pretty
unique.
Special.
That is. Did you teach Tembo any like cute tricks or anything?
No, we just played.
Just
you
played
know?
Together. Cool. Yeah. Very interesting. So I take it that, you know, growing up in this kind of environment, is that how you started, I'm assuming maybe at a young age, traveling a lot and going to different countries?
Well, yes, you know, I was made in Thailand, but born in Switzerland.
Yes.
And so I started traveling at the age of 3 months, really. And it never stopped since.
Wow.
In fact, I think this year is one of them. Years with the heaviest travel.
Oh, really? How many countries have you been to this year?
Not that many countries, but I've flown over 120,000
miles. 120,000
miles? That's a lot of miles.
Yeah, that is. Well, that's good for at least, you know, a couple of frequent flyer tickets, I hope.
Whew. And I tell you, Cathay Pacific loves me.
Cathay Pacific, I bet. Well, they're supposed to be a really good airline.
It is. It really
is. I haven't flown them yet. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll find out how you got from like playing with your pet elephant as a kid to like helping companies grow like millions and millions and millions of dollars and what got you to become a timeline therapist and energy worker and all that other fun stuff. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And we will be back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Bonjour, this is Dominique Decoq.
Bonjour, c'est Tamara Zuboff.
Bonjour, c'est Asania Kone.
We are hosting Pardon My French New York City.
Our guests come from all over the world.
From Mali to New Caledonia, from Paris to Quebec.
French is a common language, yet they all come from different cultures, backgrounds or countries.
And their common desire is to make New York their home.
Listen to them share their stories.
Join us at Pardon My French New York City every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
TalkingAlternative.com.
What's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. Times Square can shine as bright as you. I swear it's true.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and my guest this hour is Jacqueline Muller. You grew up in such like an interesting time, and I'm assuming you grew up mostly in Thailand?
Well, until the age of 9.
Until 9, oh, okay.
And then I went to Switzerland.
Back to Switzerland,
yeah,
where you were born.
Back to Switzerland, where I went to school.
Okay.
You know, and learned my fourth language at the time.
Fourth. What were you, so the first?
Well, the first was Thai.
Thai.
English. Swiss, German.
Okay.
And then French.
Okay. So that's a good solid foundation, especially like with Thai, that's as a sort of an Eastern language as opposed to a Western language. So I imagine like learning Western languages was probably kind of weird after.
Well, you
up
know,
with Thai.
I grew up speaking three at the same time. It didn't matter.
Right.
And so
now is like learning new languages. Is it really easy for you?
It's not that difficult.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult. I think I also have a gift, you know. I have that ear for it.
Yeah, my sister's like that. I mean, does she speak 8 languages? I think she speaks like, I know at least 5 languages.
That's fantastic.
And she's a translator, so she translates from English to Hebrew a lot and Russian to Hebrew and back to Russian and English. Yeah, now she's like learning ancient German and ancient Greek or something. I don't know. I
started learning Russian at the age of 16 because I thought I'd be an interpreter. Always interested in relationships between people. And so I took private tutoring for about a year in Russian. My idea was I'd be a translator or interpreter between Russian, Arabic, and the European languages, sort of.
Okay.
Never happened.
So when you went to college and like graduate school, what kinds of studies, like where did you put your focus, or were you like all over the place?
Actually, I studied in Germany and Denmark, German language and literature, and Italian language and literature. And then I spent a couple of semesters in the U.S. at the University of Washington, Seattle.
Oh, okay.
And that was comparative literature, so nothing to do with what I'm doing now.
Yeah. So like a real liberal arts kind of education.
Yeah.
Real. So how did you get from doing that to being like a business consultant? I mean, that's like a pretty far stretch. I mean, you know, some things you can kind of see. Like, I know people go into psychology or sociology, so it's like organizations and people. So you can kind of get that, but like ancient literature? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was married at the time, and we, like so many marriages, broke up. And so I thought, well, what am I going to do now? So I went back to Switzerland. I was in the U.S. at the time. And worked for Prince Karim Aga Khan, the head of the Ismaili, the Muslim branch, or rather the Ismaili branch of Islam. An absolutely remarkable person. And I was part of the secretarial pool and then transferred into part of his other businesses. But his office moved from Geneva to outside of Paris, and I wasn't ready to get, you know, buried in the countryside. So I was going back to school. I was going to study child psychology in Geneva with the then very famous professor, Piaget.
Oh, Piaget.
Yes. And but I had 3 months where, what was I going to do to fill the time? And I thought, well, I don't want to spend money, so why don't I go and stay with my dad in Bangkok? Which I did, and he took me to Hong Kong, and I've never looked back.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, wow, that's amazing. So did you ever get, so did you ever study with Piaget? Or
No. I studied with Life.
Life, that's a much, a very good teacher, Life.
Oh, yeah, and interesting, too. So I arrived in Hong Kong. No money in my pocket, really. Did simultaneous translation. Isn't that funny for business people who didn't speak English, you know? Germans, Italians, French. And that led me to a job. The offer went like this. Oh, yeah, we heard you're in town. Would you like to do a market survey for us? And I went, sure. And to myself, I was thinking,
What's a market survey?
What is a market survey?
Of course.
And sure. I said, yes. Well, what do you want? Well, we want to know if these combination locks will sell in Hong Kong. And I thought, what's a combination locks? I said, yeah, sure. And I think basically that very positive attitude, the, you know, the sense of adventure.
Yeah. Just saying yes to the universe, whatever shows up.
And whatever shows up.
You'll learn what you need to learn in the process.
And you know, it's doors open.
Yeah. I mean, if they're willing to pay you, why not?
Yeah, they were, which led to a job as an export manager, which was also very interesting. It was a small company, and my paycheck bounced every other month.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
Jeez.
Difficult times. Until one day I decided I'd had enough. I was starting to get sick. So I talked to somebody I'd met, and I said, you know, I'm looking for a job, really. The next day, I had a phone call for an interview, and I got a job in a large Swiss family-owned trading company, Kosa Lieberman. And I stayed there for 10 years. Yeah, and that's what really started me traveling in the Far East and in the world again, because I ended up being a deputy general manager, broke all the glass ceilings. Was the only woman in management, actually, at the time.
Wonderful.
Of course, I got paid a lot less than my male colleagues.
Of course.
But, you know,
but
I
you
thought
got to do
that
things that other women
that's
didn't
not
to do.
Gonna happen.
Yeah.
So I found that although my department was smaller, it was the most profitable one, which meant that my bonus was bigger. So I didn't get a bigger salary. I made a bigger bonus. And yes, that worked for me.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And I got to travel. And, you know, it really opened up Asia for me because I worked quite a lot in Seoul, Korea.
Oh, really?
In Taiwan. Thailand a little bit. Philippines a little bit. Indonesia, Malaysia, and here in New York.
Mm, wonderful. So you were exposed to like so many different cultures and countries. You must have like a really different perspective from most people, just because you've had the opportunity to like see so much, and not just on a, like a tourist level, but on a real like working, like what is it like to really be in these countries and work?
Yes, and you know, be in the factories because, of course, I spent a lot of time in the factories, learning the job on the job, really.
Yeah.
You know, at one point we were manufacturing baby strollers. Well, what did I know about baby strollers? Yeah, not much.
Mm.
After 6 months, I knew an awful lot about baby strollers because I spent a lot of time in the factories. And I think it's always good to be willing to learn everything in a job, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Not to be too proud to wrap the samples go and do quality control in the factories. Go and sit with the workers. One learns a lot. And that's how I also traveled all around China in the early days. You know, it happened that I went to places where I was the first foreigner in years.
How
I went to Harbin.
To Harbin. You were in like Harbin. You were probably like the first Caucasian person they ever saw.
Actually, it was very funny. They made me wait in Beijing for a number of days before giving me the visa. Okay. Uh-huh. Then I got the visa. Then there was no flight. Anyway, I finally got on the flight and we land, and there's this red carpet being rolled out, and I'm thinking, wow, there must be some important people on this flight. The important people was me, which was, you know, so unexpected. It was like, what? So what have I done to deserve this? It was very, very interesting. They put me up in a mansion where I was the only person living in this 12-bedroom mansion with my own cook and food I couldn't really eat because it was so foreign. Well, I had to.
I bet.
You know, bear's paws.
Mm. Bear paws, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So it's very interesting, though,
really,
you know.
They pulled out all the stops for
you.
Yeah.
First, they said I was the first Caucasian woman since, I don't know, the 50s or something.
Yeah, probably. Wow. Yeah.
So I've been very, very fortunate to have all these experiences.
Yeah, and experiences that like you can't have now because things are so open and globalized. So with all the changes that you've seen over the years, I mean, from like a really global perspective, how do you see the world has changed over the last 20, 30 years from your perspective?
Wow, that's a really big and loaded question.
Yes. I like asking those kinds of questions.
Naughty Sam.
Yes.
You know, I think there are so many levels I could answer at. On the one hand, I see it's become more violent and less accepting.
Oh, really? Okay.
On the other hand, there is much more awareness.
Mm.
How deep the awareness of others is, I don't know. There is a certain opening, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly for China, a lot of people are much better off and have enough food. And, you know, they're not terribly interested overall. If you think about 1.3 billion people, they're interested in having a decent life.
Right,
and I think many more do have that.
Yes.
Although there is a lot of pressure because...
Yes.
With the masses. And, you know, it's always been quite overwhelming to be in the middle of Beijing, for instance.
Yes,
with,
I know, I've been
at the
there
time,
now,
not that many cars, but hundreds of thousands of
bicycles. Yeah.
And being in the middle, you know, you had to really navigate the traffic. Mm. Now you have to do that with cars.
Right, which makes tremendous pollution, I know.
Big change.
It's a huge change.
Big change.
Yeah, and I think that's... Do you think that's maybe symbolic for... much of the developing world that, you know, it's gotten, you know, the standard of living. I mean, yes, there's still tremendously poor areas, but there's a certain, like, rise in the standard of living, but that rise in the standard of living has been accompanied by some real challenges.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, is it better? Is it worse? I don't have any comments on that. I think it is different. Just what it is, you know?
Yeah, it's just different than
and
it was before.
And it's part of the evolution.
Yeah. Do things feel to you like they're changing more quickly than they used to, or not as much?
Well, I think time's going more quickly too.
Yeah.
Everything seems to be speeding up. And it's not only because I'm growing older, it's because actually scientifically it's been proven that time has been speeding up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And I have to find out about that today. I'd heard once that after some major earthquake in South America, the scientists measured and like the earth was actually spinning like a fraction of a second faster.
Faster, yeah.
Yeah.
A quarter of a second or something.
Yeah, a quarter of a second, something like that. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. It's time for us to take another commercial break. I hope I can get in all my questions. I got like so much I want to ask you. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we will be back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So, Jacqueline, I just have to ask you, I mean, you've had such an interesting life. How did you get to like really being a business growth expert, if I may call you that, you know, taking companies from you know, a couple of million in sales to like huge numbers in sales? I mean, working on really like big levels. What was that like?
Exciting.
I bet.
You know, I was invited to join a friend of mine in his company. He didn't have time to take care of it. So I became the managing partner and really grew the company by being interested in the people. You know, people were not numbers. Our buyers were not just a buyer.
Right.
They were the person. And
and
I found that every time that I've been in a business situation business. Mm-hmm. I've always known a lot about the people in the business. And that creates amazing rapport and trust. Mm-hmm. And if you don't abuse that trust, if you mm-hmm. honor that trust, mm-hmm. people will work with you.
Yeah.
And you can encourage them, and you can you can make suggestions and show them things that are possible, which are beyond the realm of their daily lives.
Right. Again, providing, like the quote at the beginning of the show,
exactly.
guidance as opposed to trying to control them. And it's like, you have to do it this way and that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, also guiding by example.
Mm, right.
You know, you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't just right. say it.
So really you focused on sort of creating amazing relationships between the people involved, like creating really great teams.
Yep.
And then when the teams like felt that camaraderie, they were able to go out and produce and create amazing stuff.
Amazing. And in fact, you know, we introduced, and this is a long time ago now, burning essential oils in
really?
In the offices. And let's, how long ago? 25 years ago.
Wow.
And at first, there was a lot of resistance, and I would say, well, just give it another try.
Yeah.
And after a few weeks, you know, if I'd forget to bring in an oil or whatever, mm-hmm. they'd come to me and say, is something wrong? I said, why? Well, you're not burning the oils today.
Wow.
But it created an environment for the people to feel comfortable and to be motivated.
Yeah.
And, you know, also our clients, we were very open, very transparent.
Mm.
And so...
Wonderful.
And we had a lot of knowledge of our markets, and I have a very good sense of fashion. So it was easy to take the buyers, you know, teach them that traveling is good for you. It shows you things. Because I know Europe pretty well, I could take them to the places where fashion was developing, and you could actually see, oh, this is coming, that is coming.
I see. Well, I guess because I know I had learned years ago that I guess it's true, like venture capitalists don't invest in ideas, they invest in people.
Yeah.
So they always look at who's the management team, who are the people around, because they know that even if this particular idea doesn't work, if you've got a good team, they can be flexible, they give them something else and they'll make it successful. So mm-hmm. that's really true, I guess, whether it's a, you know, a mom and pop shop or $100 million company, it's really all about the people. That's the main, the most important resource.
Yeah, and especially the people at the top. I like to work with the CEOs and the senior VPs because, you know, then the philosophy filters down.
Right.
And so the impact is much faster and much bigger.
Right,
the ripple effect. You know?
And then it affects the whole organization.
It does.
So I have to ask, like, how did you go from doing that kind of stuff to, like, being an energy worker and a timeline therapist? I have to ask you what a timeline therapist is. But I mean, like, yeah. getting into the more healing side of things and the spiritual side of
things.
Well,
I was always interested in it. And I mean, I've been meditating for, well, I don't know, 30 plus years.
Really?
And it was always a side of life that I felt was very interesting. You know, I was jetting around the world first class, had it all, you know, but there is always something missing. So I was always searching that. And I'd had a few signs from the universe that actually my purpose wasn't just to run a business, mm-hmm. just, I say that with all due respect.
Right.
But that there was something more, and I was not willing to get out of my comfort zone. So they engineered something for me to get out of my comfort zone. My partner walked into my office one day and said, there's no room for you here. I went, what?
Whoa.
I've run this company for 15 years. Yep. Okay. And bless his heart, he was really, really nasty.
Really?
And had he not been, I would not be here today.
Really?
I wouldn't be the person I am today. Yes, because I wouldn't have been able to let go.
Ah.
And really question my identity, question, look at who I am, and take a good hard look. Because, you know, we all have things to learn.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I've always liked an adventure, and I looked at this as an adventure. And one very fundamental thing it gave me, this breakup of the relationship and the business, was that I was confronted with the idea that I actually have a choice. That I have a choice to either be a victim,
right,
or I can have fun. And you know, it's not hard to guess what I chose, right?
You chose the elephant, I know.
Right, that was fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and to be aware that in any situation, we always have a choice, even when we think we don't. I mean, I really hit rock bottom, and I went, no. And when I had made my choice to have fun, didn't mean that life was all a bed of roses.
It just
meant that there was always a guiding light there. There was always this faith, this trust that, yes, I am going towards what I'm meant to do.
I see. And how did you start studying or learning about this?
I'd been doing that for a while.
Oh, you had already been doing it.
Yes.
Okay.
I had done Reiki and was offered to do a Reiki master apprenticeship of 4 years, but I'd said no. And I'd been doing something called Nei Gong, which is the parent form of Tai Chi and Qi Gong, you know?
Yes.
Sort of the Chinese yoga.
Yes.
For a long time. But what I then did is I went more deeply into these things. So I looked at all sorts of modalities. And I also went on a trip to Egypt, which was a trigger point. I had always wanted to go to Egypt, and this was a dream come true. And I loved the trip. So I went again in a big group of 50 people and learned all the things that could be done differently. And so Spirit said to me, well, what are you waiting for? What am I waiting for? Well, how about doing your own trips? And that's how Sacred World Journeys came about.
Okay. And that's when you started, you know, creating these wonderful travel events to sacred places to really help people.
Yes. And
and that was how long ago?
That was about eight years ago.
8 years ago, okay.
And, you know, the more you do something,
practice,
the more you get good at it. Yes. And so I went to Egypt about 12 times.
Wow.
I know those sites and the energies there, and there is, you know, more uncovering each time. And from that, I learned a lot, and I also learned how to guide people. And as you say, guide them, not make them do.
Right.
Look, this is the experience you can have or you can choose to have, and this is what happens to me. Don't believe me, just check it out.
Just be open. Right. And do you go to more places than Egypt?
Oh, yeah. I've taken groups to Peru, Nepal, south of France, and now Morocco.
Oh, in Morocco.
Yes.
I haven't been there yet. I'm dying to go there. So out of all these places, is Egypt the most magical place for you? Or
well, they all are. They all are magical, but I have a very special relationship with Egypt. Yes,
is there some sacred site on the planet that you haven't been to yet that you're you're really looking forward to going to? That's like the top of the list.
You know, no, there is nothing on top of the list. It's just there are so many, and when I feel the call, I'll go.
I see.
Yeah,
I see. Okay, so real briefly, because we don't have a lot of time left, I really have to know, what's a timeline therapist?
It's a part of NLP,
and
it's sort of a regression. You've heard of past life regression?
Absolutely.
Past life regression is similar, but goes a bit further. Timeline therapy just takes you back to before an event that happened in your life, so you can let it go and then move forward.
I see.
Very powerful.
I'm sure. And for for your energy work, when you work with people, how do you do it, or what does it look like?
What does it look like?
Mm.
Well, if I told you that I'm doing energy work on you at the moment, what does it look like? You can't
it's
see
like he
it.
It's like he's sitting there talking. Yeah.
but that doesn't mean that you can't actually offer the energy to somebody.
Yeah.
And I connected to certain specific energies in Egypt and Bolivia,
mm-hmm.
oh. which come into my sessions whenever needed, and my hands start to move, and you know, the energy moves.
What would you say are your biggest influences on that side of what you do? Teachers or experiences? What really influenced you to give you a sense of how you do energy work?
I think it just comes from within.
Just comes from within. So it's really self-generated.
Yeah, and of course I have two spiritual teachers, one in a body and one not.
Ah.
And they have been huge influences, yes.
Who's the one in body?
The one in body is called Helen Barton, and she is in Australia.
Oh, okay.
And the one not in a body is called John the Beloved, the disciple of Jesus.
Ah.
Who actually is channeled by Helen as a group of entities.
Oh.
Very, very powerful.
Wonderful, wonderful. Believe it or not, it's time to take our last commercial break of the show. I tell you, time flies so fast when I have such interesting guests. So we're going to come back. We'll learn a few more things about Jacqueline and how you can all get in touch with her and learn more. So please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Have you ever decided to reinvent yourself? Are you navigating a new life's journey? Are you an aspiring artist that's looking for direction? This is Kevin Barbaro, and my new show, Coffee Talk 3.0, is your new best friend. Tune in live to hear successful professional artists and their inspiring real-life adventures Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here at TalkingAlternative.com.
Bonjour, this is Dominique Decoq.
Bonjour, c'est Tamara Zuboff.
Bonjour, c'est Asania Kone.
We are hosting Pardon My French, New York City.
Our guests come from all over the world.
From Mali to New Caledonia, from Paris to Quebec.
French is a common language, yet they all come from different cultures, backgrounds, or countries.
And their common desire is to make New York their home.
Listen to them share their stories.
Join us at Pardon My French, New York City every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Lend your ears, lend your hands, lend your movement, anything you can. Come to teach, come to be taught, come in the likeness and the image of God. 'Cause you can be like that, with all that humbleness and all that respect. All the power invested in me.
And welcome back. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour has been Jacqueline Muller. What do you think the future holds in store for you?
For me?
Yeah.
Huh. I'm waiting to see.
Oh, okay. So just kind of open to what comes.
Yes, and I know that I am going to be teaching a lot.
Oh, okay.
Speaking, which I resisted for a long time. I didn't like to be in front of a lot of people. Oh. And in fact, now I really have fun when I do that because I can see that the difference that my contribution can make. And yeah. And you know, my mission is to put a smile on people's face. So it's easier to do when you have 50 or 100 or 500 people in front of you than when you have one.
One or two, yeah. Yeah. Wonderful, mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And taking this... this philosophy, I would say, of mine into the business world and changing the way people look at business and practice business is really something that is very important to me.
Do you think people going into business are becoming more conscious now than they used to be?
Well, they're certainly more open to, okay. to, for instance, meditation.
Yes.
Used to be a dirty word.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But now that it's known that Warren Buffett has been meditating for 30 years, you know, it's become much more acceptable.
Right. Warren Buffett and people, and Steve Jobs, you know. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Do you think the world is evolving to someplace better? Or do you think it's just going to be more of the same?
I certainly hope.
Hope, that's good.
That it is evolving and changing to become more human. Again, I think it will take still a lot of work of doing things differently, of, you know, not seeing each other as competitors, but
right.
as... unique individuals who can work together.
Co-creators, yeah.
And because there is no competition. I mean, everybody is different. Why would we compete? We all have our own wonderful sides, you know, and gifts and contributions to make.
Right, and everybody appeals to somebody different.
Yes, and also I think businesses, within businesses, to have a team spirit which is supportive instead of competitive. I have seen that when companies turn that way, they become much more effective, much more efficient, and that goes straight to the bottom line.
Right. So hopefully they'll learn that, you know, to embody these kinds of principles is better for everybody, including the bottom line.
Yes.
And in order to, quote unquote, still be relevant in today's marketplace.
You know, and one goes with the other.
Yes.
So if you, instead of having a company, and the company culture is, I know certain companies in the world, you know, tough, and if they start to actually look at their employees as humans, as assets, as people, and, you know, show the respect.
Right.
I think there are some companies that are doing that very much so. Yeah. Google.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of it in the technology sector. I've seen that there are a number of technology companies that are being much more conscious. And there is this whole movement, I've learned here in New York City, mostly in startups, but I think it's spreading out, called social good ventures, where people don't want to run a nonprofit, but want to do some good for the planet, but still, you know, can make a good living from that.
Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
Quite to the contrary. Right. I mean, you know, that's what win-win is.
Yes.
And that's, I think, what I really always liked about working with Chinese people. Good business was always a win-win business.
Ah, okay.
You know.
Yes. So. Yeah. And I think there is sort of, even if... you know, recent years in the Cultural Revolution destroyed a lot of it. There's still that Confucianism, you know, that underlying Buddhist Confucius philosophy, the middle of the road, working things out and not trying to push against things, but learning how to dance.
Yes.
With things.
The yin-yang, you know.
Yeah,
expanding, contracting.
So
yeah.
What has surprised you the most over your life and over the things that you've done?
I think to discover that I'm funny.
Now, that's a very honest answer, right? Yeah, most people don't think they're that funny, right?
No.
Beautiful, beautiful. What would you like to leave our audience with? What would you want them to know or feel?
Well, just remember to breathe. Mm. I think we all, most of us anyway, don't breathe deeply. Breathe very shallow.
Right.
And that cuts off a lot of energy in our body. And breathing is very essential to life.
Absolutely.
And it also expands consciousness.
Yes, it does.
So breathing into your tummy to the count of four. So, you know, you breathe into the 4 seconds, you hold 4 seconds, you exhale 4 seconds, and you hold 4 seconds, you start this all over again. I would suggest you try this 5 minutes in the morning when you get up, 5 minutes before you go to sleep. And then, you know, write to me what happened.
Right,
because don't believe me, just tell me how you feel.
So since you said write to you, how do people get in touch with you? How do they learn more about the things you do?
Well, they can go to my website, Jacqueline at JacquelineMuller.com, JACQUELINE at JACQUELINEMULLER.com.
Right. And
they'll find...
is JacquelineMuller.com?
Yes, there's one of them. And then there is SacredWorldJourneys.com. And with both, you will find a way to contact me.
Wonderful.
And I would love to hear from all of you.
Yes,
and if
yes.
I can be of service in any which way, please let me know.
Right. And you know, you guys know from this hour, like Jacqueline is a very international person. So it doesn't matter what country you're listening to us from, you can get in touch with her, right?
Absolutely.
You have to give us a list. What are all the different languages you know now?
Well, I'm quite fluent in Thai, Swiss German, Danish, I understand Swedish and Norwegian, I speak Italian, a bit of Spanish, and a smattering of others.
Yeah, you hear that? So it doesn't matter where you come from in the world, you can probably communicate with Jacqueline without any problems. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Jacqueline.
Thank you very much for having me here. It was a delightful hour. Thank you.
Yes, it was a very fast hour. And just to remind people, this is our last show for the month, the 21st, because next week, the 28th, is Thanksgiving. And as our tradition, the 28th and 29th will be, we won't be live. We'll take some time off to be with family and friends. I'm actually going to be out of the country in a way and having fun. So, but you can always tune in anytime, and we'll be back first week of December with all brand new live shows. Thank you for tuning in. Please stay tuned. Immediately following, we have, of course, J.C. Maldonado with his show, The 21st Century Entrepreneur, followed by a brand new show of Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio. Congratulations to Tony again for getting out there and syndicated in some FM stations out on the West Coast. And for those of you who haven't been listening to Kevin Barbaro's show, Coffee Talk, he might be getting syndicated too. So you might start noticing things getting around a little bit more than in the past. So let your friends know, tune in and listen. And also don't forget, brand new URL, talkradio.nyc. For those of you who can't type real well, and if talkingalternative.com is too long for you, you can find us now at talkradio.nyc. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday for those here in the United States. And we will talk to you in a couple of weeks. Take care.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever decided to reinvent yourself? Are you navigating a new life's journey? Are you an aspiring artist that's looking for direction? This is Kevin Barbaro, and my new show, Coffee Talk 3.0, is your new best friend. Tune in live to hear successful professional artists and their inspiring real-life adventures Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.